Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Is anybody safe in his arms? That's all I got to say. Is anybody safe in his arms? Hallelujah. 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 Nobody like our God. Shalom, saints. Shalom. I want to share with you in this time that we have. I also want to welcome you, those of you who are here in the sanctuary, but not just you in the sanctuary, also those that are tuning in online in iChurch, streaming live right now in English and in Spanish. If you need a sword, just raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a sword. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. The word is sharp, and any two-edged sword. We've been talking about spiritual architecture and design for life. Yahweh has opened up so many ways of understanding in us in regards to how we should build a successful life. Many times we think that we have the answers to our life, and we don't. Your life is either going to be divinely inspired or it's not. We tend to think that we are in control of our life. But clearly, you are going to be under one of two influences. Under the influence of Yahweh or under the influence of the enemy. And if you don't choose Yahweh, by default. Hello? Say, by default.
By default.
You've already chosen. Yeah, no, I'm in control of my life. No, because you're getting thoughts and ideas and suggestions from the enemy. You're not in control. But there's a false sense of thinking that we are. Do believers think that they're in control? Yeah, that's why we got to teach on this. Because we have a tendency to fall into our sense knowledge, what we think, or what we feel. Many of us build our life on emotions, or he-motions, or she-motions, when it should be holy motions. Come on! It should be Yahweh motivating and moving our lives. So this is what we're talking about. We're letting him take the reins of this life that we're living. Go to Ephesians, the second chapter. We've been having some great revelations in what we've been talking about. And last week, I kind of did a short review of where we had come so far. If you are interested in hearing that, you can go to the media center, or you can go to our website to get caught up. But this week I must move forward because I believe that we have been talking about this. This is the 10th week. And I'm going to talk about this until the Holy Spirit tells me that we're done. And he has not told me that we're done. We still have some building to do. Hallelujah. Is that all right with you? All right. So when we go to Ephesians, the second chapter, first of all, we got to understand who we are. We are not natural people having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual people having this natural experience.
Okay.
We're spiritual. Say, we're spiritual.
Spiritual.
Tell your neighbor, we're spiritual.
We're spiritual.
I should tell you to say, we might not act like it, but we're supposed to be. But we're spiritual. Listen, if you are going to approach this life strictly in the natural, why are you here? You're wasting your time. There's some good brunches around this time that you can be, you know, you can be brunching and you can be mimosa in. You can be at the beach. I mean, if you're going to take a natural perspective, but we're believers. That means we're supposed to be spiritual. What use is it to go to church every week and then live a sense-led life for the rest of the week? It doesn't make any sense. So the true believer allows Yahweh to control every aspect of their life. Are there any true believers in the house? True. So we know who we are. Ephesians, the second chapter, the 10th verse says, "For we are his workmanship." He's recreated us when we came to him. And we're created in Mashiach Yeshua, and many, we use the true name of the Savior, his Hebrew name. The name Jesus did not come until 1611. It's 2017 right now. In 1611, how many years ago was that? 400 something years. But we know Yeshua precedes that over 2,000 years ago. So in study, we find his original name to be who?
Yeshua.
And that name actually means something. The name means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. His name meant everything that he came to do. And Yahweh said, "You shall call him Yeshua." And there is no other name. When we read those scriptures, we think, wow, did he have a foreknowledge that his original name would at some point be forgotten? And he had to tell us in scripture before it even happened, there ain't no other name whereby men must be saved. Why are you putting the emphasis on it, Pastor? Sister or dude, whoever you are, I'm not putting the emphasis on it. The scripture puts the emphasis on it. There is no other name. And it says his name has been highly exalted. That means it ain't no regular name. That by that name of Yeshua, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Come on, does anybody know the name? So it's not me. It's not me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Before I even was on the scene, that was his name. So if we are his workmanship and we're created in his name, I don't know about you, but all I know about him is that he's good. So if I'm associated with him, I'm good. Tell your neighbor, I'm good. Unto good works, which Yahweh hath ordained that we should walk in them. That means that we've been given instructions on how to walk. If you've been recreated, you have a new set of instructions. Listen, sister or dude, whoever you are, I don't care what your grandmama told you. I don't care what your granddaddy told you. I don't care what your mama told you. I don't care what your auntie and bebe and shenene told you. You got a new set of instructions. They gave you some sense knowledge, and it got you a little ways. You know what auntie told you? and all this stuff. Don't trust nobody. Yeah, she said that. But when you were recreated, you got a whole new set of instructions. A whole new set. So stop going back to what they, some of the stuff they said was good, but you know, they said some stuff. They told you, don't put your purse on the floor or your money would run out. And you'd be broke. Did they tell you that? They told you if there's a lightning storm, they said, turn off the TV and lay on the floor. Some of y'all still do that. They told you a lot of stuff. Right? But it wasn't in the word. He said he was going to hide you under the shelter of his wings. So you ain't got to turn off the TV set and lay on the floor. You just trust and believe in Yahweh. Don't worry about sitting your purse on the floor. Your money ain't going nowhere in the name of Yeshua. You're prospering. But I'm just saying that we've been told a lot of stuff that it's not real. It doesn't mean anything. So we've got a whole new set of walking orders. And he ordained that we should walk in these. Not mama, not baby's instructions, not any of those other people out there. We're supposed to walk in his instructions. And so we discovered that when we were recreated, that we were going to have to do this. Some of us have made mistakes along the way. So therefore, we acknowledge those mistakes, we repent, and we rebuild. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it. That's why he made a way. He said, okay, you know, so you're going to fall. So this is what I have set up for that. But you must be sincere. Repentance, true repentance means turning away, a change of the mind. A 180 degree. Don't come up here talking about, yeah, I did a 360. No. A 360 is when you go around and you end up in the same point. 180 is opposite. I got a new direction, right? And so we have to reconsider. We have to think differently. We have to change our minds and change for the better half. For the better and to amend the past sins. So we understand that. And so there are so many things. So we got our inspiration for building and rebuilding from the children of Israel. So go to Nehemiah, the second chapter. When we hear about the story of the children, Yahweh's children, his chosen, that's us. It was them. Now it's us. We've been grafted in. We're his children. He adopted us. He gave us a new name, whereby all the family of heaven, earth, is named. And that name is Yeshua. So tell your neighbor, we are children of the Most High. Okay, so this pertains to us. This is speaking to us. This is us. And so it says, then said I unto them, you see the distresses that we are in? And remember, the children of Israel were the promised people. They had a city, they had everything at their disposal, and by their disobedience and hard-headedness, they lost it all. They lost everything and found themselves in slavery. And then was delivered from that. But then got in their mind again and lost the freedom. So now they were restored back to their place. But now everything that was there is lying in waste. It's ruins. The walls were burned down. And walls signify protection. Walls were a grandiose response. They meant, hey, you know, we're protected. We got this. And all that was torn down. And so now they're living in disgrace because they were supposed to be children of the Most High God, but look at them. Look at the walls are down. Walls are raggedy. Walls also signify your life. Are your walls raggedy? What's the word I'm looking for? Ratchet. So they acknowledge, hey, we did some stuff wrong. We're in disgrace right now. So this scripture says, then I said unto them, you see the distresses that we're in? How our city, Jerusalem, or in Hebrew, Yerushalayim, lieth waste? And the gates thereof are burned with fire. So not only the walls are burned down, but the gates. Somebody say the walls are burned, and the gates are burned. We're getting ready to talk about some stuff. I'm trying to. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Let's rebuild is the case, because they were already built up, but they were burned down. And now they're saying, come on, let's build them back up again. That we be no more a disgrace. How your life looking? You confess to be the child of the Most High, but your life is not reflecting that. Your life is not demonstrating that. All is not lost. You can rebuild. Come, let us build up the wall. Not only is it a personal effort, but it's a community effort. We're building together, and as we're building together, our individual lives are built up. And so then we go to Nehemiah the fourth, or Nehemiah, if you're a Hebrew scholar. Nehemiah. So let's go to Nehemiah the fourth chapter. This should be inspiration to you, because people have a tendency, oh, I'm all right, I'm good, I'm clear. Really? That's not what I see. So we got to get it right. And so it says, so the decision was made, and so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, where the people had a mind to work. Okay? So this is where our inspiration comes from. So now, let's find out really quickly. I got to show this slide. What are the things that are at stake if we don't get this right? And so we found out that the kingdom itself is at stake if I don't get this right, because I'm a part of the kingdom. If I don't get this right, if I don't repent and change my mind to rebuild the right way, my life is at stake. My health is at stake. My family is at stake, because they're dependent on, my children are dependent on me. The church is at stake. The future is at stake. My destiny and purpose is at stake. My knowledge foundation is at stake. My mind, my thinking is at stake. My skills, my character and integrity, and my finances, my resources are all at stake if I don't rebuild this thing the right way. So this is why we're talking about this, because as far as I'm concerned, if you're sitting here, you got a life. And if you got a life, it needs to be built up the right way. And so we left off last week in Jude, or Yehud 20th. Woo, we couldn't even get no further than that, because the Holy Ghost came in and like stirred us up, because we're talking about building. So building up the right way. And so we have to understand that we are spiritual. We have to look at this whole thing from a spiritual aspect. Listen, you can read all the self-help books you want to, but the title of those books tells you self-help. It's a natural point of view. Now, some of those pieces are good things, but There's some stuff that you have to fix spiritually to even be successful in that. And the only thing that can really change your thinking is the power of Yahweh. That's the only thing that can change your thinking to the right thinking is His power. So you can, I don't care what self-help books you read. Guess what? I know an author who wrote a book. Raise it up. Even if it's electronic, I don't care. Raise it up. That's your book. That's your help. Your help coming from that book. Your help coming from those instructions. Your prosperity and all those things comes from that. Your success comes from that. So it says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You don't know how to build it. You don't even know how to pray right. Because when you pray, you're only praying from stuff that you know. But guess what? There's some stuff that you don't know. There's some stuff that you don't know. But guess who knows? The Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. And if we're spiritual, we'll let the Spirit make intercession for us. So it says, there's some stuff that you need to know when you build up your life that you don't even know. But the Holy Spirit knows. So if you want to build yourself up on your most holy faith and on the foundation of Yeshua, it says you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Who got the Holy Ghost? Holla. Holla. You don't know how to pray that like you think. You praying from here. Oh, God, give me a job. Oh, God, give me a car. Oh, God, pay my light bill. Oh, God. Do you know there's some other stuff going on in the world besides your light bill, your job? And there's some other stuff going on. There's some stuff that is going to happen to you down the way. And you don't know it. But the Spirit knows. And the Spirit is making intercession. Tell your neighbor, for us. So how do you start the process right? Build yourself up on your most, and it's your most holy faith. I can't build your most holy faith up. And you can't build my most holy faith up. Everybody got their own most holy faith. That comes from your triumphs. That comes from your victories. That comes from your challenge that you've been risen out of. I don't know how you live it, and I don't want to know. Why? Because I got my own life to live. So I can't be, I'm going to try to help you where I can, you know, and I'm going to give you the nuggets. What you think, Pastor Tom? I'm not thinking. I'm trying to show you in the Word. What you think? I think you should go pray in the Holy Ghost. That's what I think you should do. That's what I think. You know, we want people to solve our problems. We don't want to work ourselves. We want to touch somebody else. You please solve my problem. Here you go. Solve it. Listen, I can't help you, dude or sister, whoever you are. The only one that can really solve your problems is the Most High God. He's the only one. He's the only one that can heal your body. He's the only one that can change your mind. He's the only one. I can be in agreement with you. We can agree that He manifests that answer. That comes from your experience. So praying in your most holy faith. Your is personal. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And so go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. It's your past test. Every time you got a test, and listen, Yahweh's not testing you. He already know the outcome. He ain't got to test you. He don't test. He don't tempt. That's not His M.O. That's not His modus operandi. He don't do that. The person that tests is the enemy. He's like, okay. He like, all right, shorty, you think you say you a believer. You say you His child. Let me see. Let me do something. Let me throw something in your path. Let me see how you respond. And some of you all locate yourself. You reveal who you really are when the trials and tests come. Because he said, listen, there will be weapons formed against you. But if you're standing in him, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It will be formed. Tell your neighbor, the weapon will be formed. The test will come from the enemy. The challenge will come. But it don't have to prosper. This is your spiritual walk. So it says, fourth, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth what? Himself. Edifieth means build up. You got to use this Holy Ghost. What do you think he gave you this Holy Ghost for? And he even told the disciples, don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't go nowhere until you are bestowed with the power from on high. He's like, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you will not be effective without the Holy Ghost. So he's like, don't even do nothing. Sat down. And so that's why they were in one accord in one place in the day of Pentecost, because they were like, okay, we can't do nothing until he come. Tell your neighbor, but he's here now. Your day of Pentecost has come. The Holy Ghost is now dwelling inside of you. So now we got to put it to work. And so he says, he that speaketh in his own tongue, edifying himself. But he that prophesies edifieth the church. So your heavenly language is for you. And it's making intercession for you. So that you, because you don't know how to pray the right way. But he knows. You don't know how to build yourself up the right way. But he does. So these two spirits are in line. He says, building up yourselves with your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Means builds himself up the right way. Go here to Romans 8. Your natural stuff that's coming at you, the enemy that's trying to throw darts and challenges in your way, trying to inhibit your building process. The little hater devils. Because we've been told it's not, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers. So if the powers are coming at you, you can't fight with a natural point of view. You got to fight with the spirit. If spirits are coming at you, you got to fight with the spirit. That's like you thinking I'm going to fight the devil and you putting boxing gloves on. That's not going to help nothing. You're going to get knocked out. I mean, you can't approach it from the natural. Yeah, I'm ready to fight. I got 10-ounce gloves here. No. You need some holy gloves. You need to, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to attack this spiritually. So you must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. So stop being, you must be spiritual. You don't have a choice in the matter. You cannot start attacking your issues and problems through your natural mind. You must be spiritual about this. When you're building this stuff, you must be spiritual. When you're rebuilding, you must be spiritual. When you're refreshing, you must be spiritual. Don't nobody else come to me with, but I think. Don't nobody else come to me, but well, I feel. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you think. And I don't care what you feel. All I care about is what the word of Yahweh says about what we're talking about. Hallelujah. And if I feel that way, You should feel that way too. Tell your neighbor, I don't care what you think. Tell them. I don't care how you feel. It's all about the word of Yahweh. But tell them this. Tell them this. But I love you. Let's add that. I mean, I love you, but it's about his word. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. Because Yahweh don't care what you think, and Yahweh don't care how you feel. That's why he gave you a renewed mind. And he said, every day you got to renew that thing. Because then you'll start talking, well, I feel. That's the problem. You're in your feelings. Get up out of your feelings and get in the spirit. Romans 8 chapter. Somebody needs to hear that, I guess. I'm not apologizing. Likewise, the Spirit also what? You got infirmities. You got issues. All y'all got issues. Y'all up in here because you got issues. He knows you got issues. He knows you got stuff going on. He knows you got challenges. But he said, the Spirit help it. But I got problems. The Spirit help it. But they said, but the Spirit help it. But I'm tired. But the Spirit help it. But they hurt my feelings. But the Spirit help it. Everything that you got to form your mouth to tell me, don't care. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. That says, you don't know what you need to be praying for. You think you do, but you really don't know. But the Spirit Himself. It's himself, not itself. The Spirit himself maketh what? Intercession for us with groanings. Groanings. I mean, he's coming in a way that you can't even understand, but yet he is making a way for you. You don't know what he's talking about, but he is interceding for you. And some of the stuff that he's interceding for, you don't even want to know. You don't even want to know. Oh, yeah, it's like that. Because there may be something down the line that's trying to come up on you, and you have no idea. And if you knew, you would fall out. If you knew, you would pass out. It'd be too much for you. So that's why, oh, thank you, Father Yahweh. Thank you for taking care of stuff that I don't even want to know. There was some stuff that was probably going to come at you on Wednesday, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you ain't even got to worry about it. Come on. You ain't even got to worry about that stuff. We don't care how the Holy Spirit intercedes and slaughters that cow. You just want the steak in the end. I don't want to know about all the bloodshed of the and how he had to slaughter that cow. All I want to know, but Yahweh, thank you for putting the steak on the table. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for taking care of this. And I mean this figuratively. I'm not saying, somebody say, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not talking about real steak. What I'm saying is that he took the situation that was meant
for your downfall. And through the Holy Ghost, he interceded for you and turned that thing around, and you will never know. You have no idea. We really should be thanking him for stuff that we have no idea that he did. We should be in a constant state of praise and thanksgiving, because every day he kept us from something and we don't even know. You only testifying about stuff that you saw happen. But if you really saw what happened in the spirit, woo! That's why we gotta be spiritual. My God, after you've had this spiritual experience with the Holy Ghost, why would you wanna resort back to this old stankin' thinking? Oh my God. Say, I must be spiritual. And everything that we encounter has to be handled spiritually. Your boss talking smack to you on the job, handle it spiritually. He ain't even gonna know what hit him. That part. He's not. And I've heard people say this. I don't know why I'm doing this. Anybody heard that? You get a favor situation and they're like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I just feel compelled. That's the spirit making intercessions for your infirmity. Anybody ready to build? Amen. Oh, yeah. So, I'm going to open up something really quickly that we're going to be talking about for again in the next few weeks. I couldn't let Nehemiah go. Kept going back to those same scriptures. Kept going back to Nehemiah the second chapter. And I kept going back to Nehemiah the fourth chapter, because those were the chapters that were talking about the wall. But everything that is Holy Ghost inspired in this word means something. Chapter 2 speaks of the rebuilding. Chapter 4 reinforces that. Chapter 3 talks about the specifics of what they were building. But before we go to 3, go to Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. I'm giving you that preface because what I'm about to open up, it's pretty amazing. For you to understand this, you're going to have to commit to being spiritual. Are you committed to being spiritual in this building process? Be spiritual. So Nehemiah and Nehemiah, the sixth chapter, again, we're talking about reinforcing it. 15th verse. So the wall was finished. Remember the wall that the people had a mind to build? Remember the wall and the gates were burned down? So the wall was finished the 25th day of the month of Elul.
If you know anything, are you, Carol pointed to me and she said, If you know anything about the month of Elul, it's a month of searching, consecration, of a making up of one's mind. And they were able to accomplish in 52 days what it took them 70 years for previously. Wandered in foolishness for 70 years. But with a made-up mind, they were able to rebuild the walls and structures in their city in 52 days. During the month of Elul, which is right before the new year, they had to make up their mind to rebuild it before they stepped in to the next season that Yahweh was going to really flourish them and lift them up. You got a season that you need to step into. You got a season of elevation that Yahweh is trying to prepare you for, and you better make up your mind to be spiritual or you're going to miss it. So the wall was finished. 52 days. Say, because the people had a mind to work. And they couldn't do it in 70 years because they were so messed up in their mind. But when they finally made up their mind, boom, it took 52 days. I don't care how long you've been ratchet. If you make up your mind, you can rebuild this thing in just a short period of time. So why wouldn't he let me? He was talking about these walls and the gates. The walls were burned. The gates were burned. He kept on taking me back to that. The walls were burned. The gates were burned. Well, walls speak to protection. And walls also speak to territory. Understand what he's trying to tell us. They reclaim their territory. They reclaimed their protection and their covenant. Somebody needs to reclaim their territory. You got to reclaim it. You got to reclaim your covering. Say, it's mine. So the third chapter actually talks about the building of the walls and the gates. The gates speak of entry points and opportunity. So as you rebuild your life, you build these walls, you also got to be conscious of the gates. What are you letting in? What are you letting out? So as I began to read, I was like, you have broken down each gate, and there are 10 gates. So if this is supposed to be speaking to our lives as rebuilding and building up the walls, the Holy Spirit said the gates are just as important as the walls are. Otherwise, he would not have spoke specifically on the gates. So guess what I found in the third chapter? There are 10 gates, and there's a list. And we're not going to be able to get into it all today, but I had to open it up. I had to open the gate. So in Nehemiah, when they're talking about rebuilding and reclaiming, the first gate is the sheep gate. The second gate is the fish gate. It's here. The third gate is the old gate. The fourth gate is the valley gate. The fifth gate is the dung gate. That's refuse. They called it that? Yes. It's in Nehemiah. Reading is fundamental. The sixth gate is the fountain gate. Ooh, I'm getting Holy Ghost chills because we've been talking about fountains, and the seventh gate is the water gate. Not Nixon. Not that gate. These were 10 gates to the city. 10 gates that are connected to the walls. And each of the gates means something. The eighth gate is the horse gate. The ninth gate is the east gate. And the tenth gate is the Malchiah gate. And all of these gates surrounded the city, and they were all described in order. Say, in order.
In order.
We serve a God that is a God of order. We serve a God that is a God of detail. So when I'm rebuilding, when we're talking about rebuilding our lives, oh my God, I need to know what the gates are. So go to Nehemiah, the third chapter. I can only do one gate today.
Take your time.
It's like, why you call it the sheep gate, Yavah? So Nehemiah, the third chapter, the first verse. If you got it, say, I got it.
Amen.
Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest. And they build the sheep gate. Not only did they build the sheep gate, they sanctified it. And then they set the doors of it. And they even, unto the Tower of May, they sanctified it. And towers mean watch. Unto the Tower of Hananiah. What does this mean, Pastor Tom? Out of the 10 gates, because this is the whole city. Out of the 10 gates, there's only one gate that was sanctified. And he called it the sheep gate. The first gate is the sheep gate. And the first gate is the only one that was sanctified by the high priest. And they're the ones that had to build it. So what is the significance of the sheep gate? The sheep gate is where all the animals were brought in for sacrifice. That was where they brought them through the city, and any sacrifice that was to be made had to come through the sheep gate. That was the first gate, right? And it says, go to Yohanan, the first chapter. What does the sheep gate mean in my life? Because it has a significance. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Go to Yohanan, the 10th verse. The 10th chapter. John 10, Yohanan 10. And I'm reminded. The 9th chapter says, 10:9, you got it? It's in red. What does it mean when Yeshua said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Last I checked, Yeshua was the sacrificial lamb. And if you want anything, if you want to build anything, if you want to acknowledge any power or anything that is going to lead you to success in your rebuild, you must first go through the first gate. You must first go through the sheep gate. And there is only one sheep gate that has been sanctified. There is only one way in. And you must enter in. And Yeshua is that gate. He's the first gate. He's the sanctified gate. And if you go in there, he shall be able to what? Go in and out and what? Find what? Pasture signifies rest. Signifies peace. Like Yvonne just saying, he lets me rest in the meadow's grass. What is your meadow's grass? Mine is peace of mind. If I can just have some peace, I'm in the meadow's grass. I got to knock on. He's the sheep gate. I'm building up these walls. Go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to leave y'all alone. But I want you to meditate on his gates. Because this speaks to all these things, all the things that we should be doing and all the things that we should not be doing. It's demonstrated in what he's talking about here. Said the people had a mind to work. Say, I must have a mind to work. And say, my mind must be spiritual. So Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 13th verse. You got it? It says, enter ye at the straight gate. Tell your neighbor that gate. If Yeshua is the way, and if Yeshua is the only way, and he's the first gate, and he's the sanctified gate, and he's the straight gate. Say, this ain't a crooked gate. It said, for why is the gate and broad is, it's not talking about the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. See, that's not the sheep gate. The sheep gate is a small straight gate. It's not a crooked gate. It's a straight gate. And somebody say, it's a narrow gate. But everybody's not going through the straight gate. There's a broad gate. And it says that's the one that leads to destruction. And many there be that what? There's only one gate. And before we can even talk about the other 9 gates, we have to acknowledge that there's just one gate. The first gate is the sanctified gate. You can't go through the other gates. You have to go through the straight gate first. And the straight gate is narrow. That means there's some specifications. There's some standards. And last I checked, anything that is sanctified, you can't come any old kind of way. When it's sanctified, there's only one way you can come, and that is holy, that is righteous. That's the only way. And in this day and age, yeah, I have a personal relationship with the Lord. I don't have to go to church and, you know, I'm not into all that. I'm a spiritual
person. Therefore, you know, I can just go to the beach and experience God.
You know, dude, I hear what you're talking, but it sounds like your gate is broad. Sounds like some of anybody can go through that gate. See, I don't want the gate that some of anybody can go through. I want the gate that is righteous. I want the gate that is the only way in. I want the gate that leads to pasture. I want the gate that has been sanctified. And the last thing I want to ask y'all is, does anybody want the sheep gate? Does anybody want the right way? Does anybody want the righteous way in? There's only one way. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he paid it all. He paid it all. Father Yahweh, we thank you. Praising you for opportunity to hear about you. Opportunity to understand what you're revealing to us, Father Yahweh. We know it's a time to build. We have to have a mind to build. But you're showing us in a marvelous way through your word what you have available to us. I'm amazed at the way that you're making. What love. Who is man that you're even mindful of us, but yet you reach down, yet you love us, yet you show us mercy, yet you show us grace? Who are we? But yet you love us. Yet you're making a way for us. So help us, Father Yahweh. Our desire ultimately is to be with you. But in that journey, Father Yahweh, you want to lead us through pastures here. You want to take us to the meadows grass here. You want to take us beside the quiet streams here. You know the thoughts and the plans that you have for our lives. So our desire is to submit to your thoughts and your plans and your will and your way and your instructions and your direction and your navigation and the way that leads to life eternal through the straight gate, through the sheep gate, through Yeshua's gate. That was sacrificed for us, that we may even have a way in. Father, if we haven't thanked you enough, Father, thank you for a way in. Thank you for the way in, Father. Thank you for the righteous way in. Thank you for opportunity to enter in. So in entering in, we want to be in the right relationship for you. So help us. Lead us, guide us. Show us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Keep your head bowed real quick. I have to ask the question before I let you go. We talked about the straight gate. We talked about Yeshua being the only way in. We talked about how he's here to lead us and keep us from all of the pitfalls and dangers of this life. And many of us have led our own life a mind-led existence. And he's saying, today, I want to call you higher. I want to call you to a real relationship, a relationship of power. And you said in your heart, you said, I want that. I want that. He's speaking to me in a way that I haven't experienced it like that before. So if he's speaking to you today, you can acknowledge that by saying, pray for me, and you can acknowledge that you want prayer for this right now by just raising your hand. Say, I want this life. I want this life. That's one. I want this life. It's a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual walk. It's a relationship. So if you say you want that, got your hands raised. Second, somebody says, listen, I believe I've had relationship, but you're talking about this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You're talking about being spiritual. You're talking about the power. I'm not sure if I have that. I'm not sure if that's operating and moving in my life. But I want that. I want that motion. I want that experience of the Spirit. And you're saying, I need it today. Tomorrow's not promised, but today is here. And you're here today. So if that's you, just raise your hand. Say, I want the power operating in my life. I need the power operating in my life. So, the power that is demonstrated in Yahweh is when we ask and we really want something, we show that by coming to Him. So I want everybody's head bowed. And if you raised your hand for any of those reasons, I'm going to come down here. Make the declaration today. You're declaring by standing up and coming here. Don't worry about nobody looking heads about. Let's get it today, and I will meet you down here. Let's pray right now. If you rose your hand for any of those things, let's pray about it right here. Let's get it right here. And so right now, Father, my brother, he's saying, hey, I want what you have for me, Father.